Hello, we'll briefly mention our win over London, but this episode, we're looking forward rather than back. Yes, it's St Helens on Friday night. To discuss the clash, Rugby League Daily Mirror correspondent Gareth Walker joins the pod. Come on, The Wire, let's get stuck in. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Oh, I need to put some cream on my face.
What you need to do is put get some hemorrhoid cream.
Yeah, apparently that is what they use. Well,
I've tried it. It's amazing. Yeah. It makes you look 10 years younger for 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. We've started. Hello, I'm Rob London, coming to you from Sydney, and I cannot wait for the big game, because on Friday night, Warrington will play St Helens. Joining me to discuss this top-of-the-table clash are my two fellow podders. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell and Sam Sankey. Morning, lads. How are you?
Morning. You all right? I can hear... have you got a wolf outside?
That's my dog outside barking. It's been very warm today in Sydney. I've got sunburn today. But my netball team won their first game, 53 points to 28. We are top of the table. Perhaps only for 1 week, but we're top of the table.
Nice feeling.
Sam, do you remember our netball team at school? They used to get thrashed every week, didn't they? Do you remember in the assembly they'd hand out the score and they'd lose by about 40 points?
Was it just 40?
Football team would win.
You stood on the sidelines giving encouragement there, were you?
Yeah, we're on the climbing frame, upside down, with me Texan bar. Happy days.
Texan bars.
Do a full-time gymnast. Bloody hell.
Right, boys, are we ready for this? I know we're going to talk about London in a set, but are we excited about the week ahead?
Yes, I am. While Dennis falls asleep, I mean, it's a beautiful sunny Saturday morning here in Warrington. We had a good win last night, and we've got a great game to look forward to.
Okay, I am excited, but because the sun's out in Somerset, I've nothing to do with rugby, but we've booked a... I'm moving into a sort of middle class sort of social circle now. We've booked a wine tour of the area.
I thought you said you were going to Pontins rather than Butlins. I thought that's what you were doing.
No. We've got a wine tour with a little mini bus going to two vineyards, doing some tasting. I've got absolutely no idea when it comes to sort of like rating a wine. It's laughable, really, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The things I've had a look at were, I'd be coming up with something like semi-quaver, crotchet, you know, like musical notes.
Yeah.
As it's going to be a bit of a musical theme today, something to look forward to later in the podcast.
I don't know about that, but yeah, go on.
There's a really long word. If you were playing Scrabble or Countdown, I found an 18-letter word, hemi-demi-semi-quaver. It's got loads of connotations, that has.
Well, you want to drop that one in a Riesling today, mate, after you have one of those. You've got it on your palate, come out with that one. Blow them away.
Yeah, and just for my benefit as well, can we just clarify that the St. Helens match is on Sky Sports next week? I genuinely don't know if it is.
I think it is. I think we'll be all right, mate. I think we'll be fine.
Should walk. That was absolute diabolical. It's going to be a yellow card. I can't speak. You bottleless get, Campbell. You dickhead. You bottleless get. I can't speak. I should be sent off. That's diabolical.
Right, well, let's move on then. Okay, just briefly, before we look at Friday night, we should probably cast our minds back to the London game. Sam was there. I'll quickly run through the team. There's a few changes, obviously, leading into the St Helens game. We did rest a few people. The team was Ratchford, Lynham, King, Atkins, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark. Tarsi came in the front row. Curry, Levette, and Philbin kept there at 13. Interchange bench was Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Walker, and making his debut, Matty Davis. Final score was Warrington 48, London 12. Sam, you were there. If you want to summarise it for us, please, mate.
Yes, yeah. First of all, I think we need to look at the London team. They're absolutely wonderful shape. You can tell they're very well coached. Obviously, they got beat well in the end, and they just looked a little bit small across the park. But you can see why they've caused some teams a bit of trouble. They caused us trouble for half an hour, but couldn't quite get over the line. They were, of course, missing Abdul and Elliot Kerr, who were probably their two best attacking players. But yeah, very nice looking team, London.
Was that right. Good practice for next week with the defence? Because there was two sets of periods in that game, wasn't there? The start of the first half, start of the second, where, you know, it was they had five penalties to start with at the beginning of the match, and we held them out pretty well. Was that London lacking a bit of a offensive sort of prowess, or was that our defence?
A little bit of both. We turned the ball over or gave penalties quite regularly in our own half, as you say, in that first 25-30 minutes. They were camped on our line, but we just kept, we held them up maybe three times over the line and kept them out all that first half. And we looked strong on our line. Yeah, very good.
And the tries went to, there was Lynham got his hat-trick, Charnley, Austin got two, Clark scored his first try, Ratchford and Atkins. Ratchford kicked six goals. I made that 66.66 recurring. Pretty much easy night, wasn't it? We took a few players off towards the end, Sam, rested them. It was a good night for us.
I don't want you to just look at that score and think it was an easy night. The first half was tough. And actually, the man of the first half, for me, who you've not mentioned there, he did score once, was Ryan Atkins. We were struggling to get out of our own half. And after about 20 minutes, he steps up, he gets involved, he starts punching holes through the line, quick play the balls. And on the back of his efforts, that's where we won the that's where we won the first half. So a big shout out to him.
Well, but then you might in the second that, half. Sam.
Yeah, then in the big, sorry.
Well, Sam, I just noticed Dennis is shaking. Dennis, what's wrong, mate? What, you're shaking your head? What's the problem here? You seem to mention Ryan Atkins, and you lost it there.
I just think that, you know, I think Ryan Atkins now is one of them players that he needs a couple of games off as a reminder to then come and play like that.
Well, maybe, but. I mean, 152 metres, 11 tackle busts and a try. As we went into the second half, you're right, it became very easy. We took players off. Austin came off at, I think, about 60 minutes. Clark had come off before that, and we ended up with Walker and young Matt Davis on. Both of them quick and enthusiastic. Still not convinced about Tarzi. Still not convinced about Tarzi.
This game I sent you a WhatsApp. It was a slow grind. It just felt like it ended up as just being a very long grind. It didn't sound very entertaining, even though we're 48 points to 12. It's unbelievable.
No, we scored some good tries. I'll even give Deck Patton a bit of credit because he was very quiet for 60 minutes. And the moment Austin went off, he was saying, "Give me the ball." I wish he'd have done a bit in the previous 60 minutes.
Good point here, sorry. But let's just say we're coming up to that 10th match. I've got a couple of things I want to mention around Deck. Hopefully he'll be playing in that 10th match because he did take someone's head off, I believe, early on. But let's not forget that superb 40-20 he did. I mean, you know, you can't knock that, can you?
Were you watching the game?
Yeah, all right. It came with 3 seconds to go at the end of the match, but nevertheless.
Yes, you're right. It was right at the very, very end. But final thing to say about last night is the club put a lot of effort into last night. They went round a lot of schools, got a lot of kids there with tickets to dad and lad type tickets or mum and child type tickets. 11,718, a record attendance against London, that.
You know, I think there's something in that. I think we need to look at something, how we could, you know, get that sort of demographic into the game. Actually, we'll come back to that on tackle bags.
Ooh.
Oh, hello.
Right, leading in. Okay, Deck Patton also did throw his stutter pass. Unfortunately, it went into the stand, though, so wasn't one of his best ones.
Oh, but I was watching the Wigan game. Sammet used it, and Wigan got a try, so it's already out there.
It's moving on. Okay, well, let's come on to the predictions. I went for 26-18. Sam went 30 points to 10, and Dennis went 40-16. Unfortunately, Dennis was just too far. What do you mean?
No, I don't know what you're going to say, but I got a good prediction there, haven't I?
You're clearly not reading the memo, because home games it's 11 points, and you were outside by 12. So unfortunately, no points this week. But we move on to next week. You are getting closer, Dennis, and you'll wait and see what happens. Okay. All right. Now, with the Saints game approaching on Friday night, earlier this week, we were delighted that Gareth Walker, rugby league correspondent for the Daily Mirror, joined the podcast. Gareth also turned out to be a Rochdale Hornets fan. So Gareth, Dennis, Sam and I decided to pick, and more, our combined Ultimate Saints and Wire starting 13. Hi, Gareth. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are very well. It's a little bit early in the morning here in Sydney. It's just gone 7 a.m. We could do with an hour change. Our hour hasn't changed yet. But you're all very sprightly, aren't you? Because, of course, the hour's gone forward and we've got the big game to look forward to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some light nights coming back now. So we'll see some good evening games, hopefully. And yeah, like you say, big one this weekend.
Right. So what we thought we'd do, Gareth, we'd just run through both the Wolves and the Saints sides. It's been a little bit tricky, really, to come up with their best 13. Maybe that's to their advantage. Do you feel a little bit, before I run through them, that one of the reasons they're sitting at number one and two is because they've got so much strength in depth?
It certainly helps, yeah. I think when you see some of the other clubs pick up even, you know, four or five injuries, they can struggle to deal with that. Whereas Warrington and Saints have certainly got that depth. You know, they've young players pushing through. And I think the value you get from your squad numbers, say 20 to 25, can be massive over the course of the season. And both clubs are well positioned in that area, I think. And that helps everything.
Do you think the fact that they're in line now with the Rochdale Hornets helps?
I'm split on these partnerships. As a Rochdale lad, I'm not massively in favour of players dropping in and out every week. I think it can work, absolutely, if you get young players staying there for a certain amount of time. So a great example is Pat Moran, young prop forward who spent pretty much all last year at Rochdale. I saw them play a few times. I think he's definitely got a big future in the game. Less keen on a Tom Lynham or somebody dropping in for one match only. I just don't like that system personally. But it can work. And I think Warrington Rochdale probably use it better than most, if I'm honest.
Where is Pat Moran now? Is he still at Rochdale? Where is he knocking
about? Yeah, he's played quite a bit this year as well. He was in one of your squads, I think, this year. He is young for a front row, but he's a big guy. And when I've seen him, he works hard. I think if he continues to progress as he has been doing, I'm sure he'll have a Super League future in front of him. And he's played a lot of first-team games against men in the Championship, which will help him. I think that's what dual registration was set up for. I think when you get first-team players dropping in almost as a fitness test, it is when it frustrates Championship supporters.
I think with Pat Moran in particular, the club have got high hopes for him. He's thought very highly as he's been coming through the ranks. But as you say, he's still young though, isn't he?
He is, yeah. But what I've seen of him, and my dad and brother go and watch Rochdale every week, and they tell me how well he's playing. I think he's a perfect example of how dual registration should work. It benefits Rochdale, it benefits Warrington and the player. I think the other side of it is probably where people involved with the Championship aren't as comfortable with it. But I can certainly see how it helps Warrington. You know, Aquala's there at the moment, isn't he? He's played a lot of games for Rochdale this year. They've got an NRL forward effectively in their first team, which is a strange situation, but it helps Warrington because he's playing regular matches.
There you are, Dennis. We found out where he's gone to. Dennis has been a little bit anxious about him, haven't you, mate? But turns out he's at Rochdale.
I was wondering whether it was Moran or Moran. I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Oh, this is true. We've been told off that it's Moran, not Moran.
Oh, well, I can't say that I'm right on that. I'm not sure. I have a friend with the same surname who's called Moran, so that's my excuse. But yeah, they've both been playing at Rochdale this year.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to run through the teams. I've got a bus to catch in about 25 minutes, so I'll run through it and we'll go from there. Now, you might think these teams are wrong, Gareth. I'm not sure. I basically looked at their Twitter feeds over the last few weeks to see which players they played. It seems Sintelling's last week did leave a few out in their win over Hull KR. So I also jumped onto their squad numbers to see where they sort of sit. So I'll run from the top. Wolves, we've gone for Ratchford, Lynham, Toby King, Goodwin, Charnley, Blake Austin, Deck Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, and Philbin. The corresponding numbers over at Saints, we've got Lachlan Coote, Makinson, Kevin Aguama, Mark Percival, Regan Grace, Theo Tharge, Lomax, and then in the forwards, Wormsley, Roby, and Thompson in the front row, Zeb Taylor, Joseph Paolo, and Morgan Knowles I've put in at 13. Is that about right, Gareth? Have I got the two teams pretty much spot on if they all the players are fit?
Yeah, I don't think that's far away. There's always the odd player dropping in and out through form or injuries. You know, at Saints, some weeks Amor's played, some weeks it's been Jack Ashworth. And I think it's similar at Warrington that, you know, Atkins has played some games and then dropped out. But generally speaking, that looks pretty spot on.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel that the forwards don't get as much love as the backs. So rather than starting at one, I thought we'd start at 13 and go the other way. Bit Aussie way that we used to do on the numbers over here before they changed it all round. So first up, we've got Joe Philbin against Morgan Knowles. I don't know about St Helens too much, but I'd say that Warrington, they've not so much sort of looked for a 13. I still don't quite think we know exactly who our best 13 is, but possibly this chap has come to the fore now with the limited interchanges. Are we seeing a modern-day forward in Philbin? You know, a little bit smaller, can do more metres, more yards, more time over the period of a game.
Yeah, well, I think in a lot of ways, those two players are quite similar in that respect. You know, Morgan Knowles as well, I'm a big fan of him at the moment. And I think those two guys are two of the most improving forwards in Super League at the moment. Knowles has come on a bomb. I think he really benefited from playing for Wales in the World Cup. And obviously, Philbin was involved with Ireland. You know, those experiences are invaluable. Both real high work rate players.
Yeah,
Philbin's caused some good impact off the bench, and I don't think there's much to split those two, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Well, come on, we're going to have to put everyone on the spot now. So, Gareth, we're going to give you 2 points. You know your stuff. Us three dimwits are only going to get a point each. So, give us your man, Gareth. Come on, who do you want, Philbin or Morgan Knowles?
In this case, I'm just, and I mean just, edging towards Morgan Knowles.
Okay. All right. Sam?
I did as well, actually. I know you're not going to allow me, but the ones I don't put in, I might want to drop down to my bench. But right. If we're going to force me on a starting man, I'm going to go with Morgan
Bench, Knowles. You love your bench, don't you, Sam? You've got a bit of a fantasy bench going on this podcast.
Makes a big difference, that interchange.
Dennis, you're still awake. Morgan Knowles, he plays for St Helens.
Yeah, but I'm swayed because Gareth probably doesn't know I'm a budding journalist, and I interviewed Philbin only a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that right? And so he's my favourite now. So
he seemed more excited than you, Dennis, when you were doing that interview. He was very happy, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's a happy forward, a really happy forward.
He definitely thought I was somebody else. I'm sure of it.
All right, okay. All right, we'll move on. Right, second row.
Well, hang on, who are you saying?
Well, you know what, mate? I'm not giving a point either way because my inability to know all the St Helens team, I don't know too much about Morgan Knowles, and it'd be very disrespectful if the lad's playing superbly every week for me to give a point to Joe Philbin. Yeah,
I think Gareth... too much time down there with Wayne Bennett at that cinema, isn't it? You're just not in touch.
All right, number 12. Now, am I saying his name right here? Joseph Paolo, is that how we're saying it? Against Jack Hughes. We like Jack Hughes. He does a lot of work that probably goes unseen, or maybe it doesn't go unseen. It's just the fact they don't talk about it. Gareth, who would you go for here?
Yeah, it'd be Jack Hughes for me. I think he's been terrific the last 18 months in particular. He went on the Knights tour, didn't he? Been promoted to the senior England squad. I think he's really come on. I don't think we've seen the best of Joseph Paolo yet in Super League. It looked when he first came, he probably wasn't fully up to speed, so he might improve. But yeah, Jack Hughes for me there.
Boys, you got any qualms against that?
No contest. Hughes does virtually 80 minutes week in, week out at a good standard.
He's a bit like the invisible man, though, isn't he? You don't really notice he's there.
He's got that little back pass now, hasn't he, out the back, which works very well.
Right, yeah, that does, yeah. But like you say, you don't really know he's there, but he's, yeah.
Dennis, there's times on this podcast when we don't know you're there, mate, to be honest.
No, that's all right. Oh, I'm used to the abuse.
Well, one man we did give a little bit of abuse to, and I know Sam feels very guilty about this because Sam wrote him off at the start of the season. He's shaking his head now, but we've got it all down on record. Is Ben Curry up against Zeb Taylor. I'll go first. Look, I've got to give it to Ben Curry. After everything he's been through, he's come back. He's match fit. There's no brace on his leg anymore. Possibly a question mark if he's lost that edge of speed, but I've got to give it to Ben Curry. Gareth?
Yeah, I'd go Ben Curry as well. I mean, Zeb Tai has had some good times in Super League, and with Saints and Catalans, but Ben Curry on his day, and we've seen some flashes the last few weeks that he's getting back towards that, is one of the top bat rowers in the world, I think, and I hope he doesn't get another serious injury and we get to see his full potential over a long period of time.
Dennis, we've pretty much used the analogy every week of what kind of Curry Ben Curry is. When he was injured, we had him down as a bit of a corma, a very wet dish. Not something. A few weeks ago, we upgraded him to a chicken tikka masala. We said he was the big substance on the table at the banquet. Not everyone was picking it again, but it was there and it was steady. Are we looking more now towards a Madras?
Not quite, but is it probably a de piazza, I think, at this stage? I think there's a few peppers in his play. He's popping them passes out. Might not have the speed yet for a full Vindaloo or Madras.
Four-star, so. Yeah. We're still waiting on that. But definitely going the right way, which is good to see. De Piazza, you almost said that as if it was Italian.
I've just been watching The Trip in Italy. So just been doing my Italian voice for the past 10 minutes. Sorry about that.
All right, let's move on to the forwards. Now, boy, this is a hard one to pick. Mike Cooper versus Luke Thompson, two outstanding forwards. Cooper's come back a better man after his spell in the NRL. He had a bit of a dodgy year under Smith the first year he got back, but now we're seeing the best of him. But Luke Thompson, boy, what a forward he is. Sam, we'll go to you first. Who are you going for?
I'm cheating again. Whichever one I don't want, the other one's on my bench. I would start with Cooper and then I'd bring Thompson on to run amok.
It's a bit a politician's Brexit answer, that, mate, isn't it?
No, I've only got four on my bench. I've only got four guys on my bench, and Thompson and Philbin are two of them.
I'm thinking the thing is, Cooper's got that one extra thing about the offloads, which seems to be in his game more than Thompson. So I would say Cooper.
And I've not seen quite enough of Thompson, but Cooper's playing 60 minutes a game at the minute.
Right. Okay. Well, look, I'm going to go against you, boys. I know you obviously your allegiance is to Warrington, but I don't think there's a better forward in the game at the moment, here or over there, than Luke Thompson. I think he is outstanding forward. He's tough as old boots, and I think the future looks very bright for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in the NRL within 5 years' time. Gareth, your thoughts?
Just Thompson, I think. Perhaps just because they're different parts of the career, and they're, you know, Thompson's young and up and coming. Cooper's towards the other end of his career, but I think he's been absolutely brilliant this year. Really unlucky to miss out on England selection in that 30-man squad. Whereas Thompson, you're now looking at, he's a definite in that England 17, I think, at the moment, which, given the quality of the forwards, is some kind of achievement. So I'd go with Thompson, but only just. They're two great forwards.
It's brilliant that we've got someone professional on tonight, Gareth, who thinks my way. You know, I'm really enjoying this. And I've also got down in my notes to ask you about Mike Cooper in England. So keep up, lads.
I was going to ask you about the points at this stage, but I know you always change it at the
I thought we'd do it a bit Eurovision Song Contest-ish. I won't announce them until the end. Okay.
Okay.
Right. We're going to go over to Helen Skelton in Yorkshire. She's going to announce the points for us. Right. On to the now another one. Doesn't get any easier, this, does it? Daryl Clark against James Roby.
Oh, that's
whoa.
Easy.
Come hey, on. Where do we go here?
It's easy.
All right. Well, I'll go first. Look, I'm going to just do this on biasness, in the fact that Daryl Clark seems to be the action man of Warrington this season. I haven't seen enough of Roby. I have to go Daryl Clark. I always think he's come second best to Roby when it's comes to picking England teams and everything else. Gareth, you probably see it far more from a even keel.
Yeah, again, two top players, these, aren't they? But I just think that the levels of consistency that Roby's achieved throughout his whole career, you know, over a decade now, there's not many players in the game that can do that. And it's a week-to-week thing. It doesn't matter whether they're playing away at Wakefield or at home to Wigan. And every year he's been the same. So Roby just edged it for me. I think he's a genuine Super League great.
This is like turning that other question on its head, really, because when you think about it, Clark's got the speed sort of thing, whereas Roby's not got the speed so much. So he's like the older one and Clark's the younger one. So I'd go for Clark.
Depends how you want to set your team up. As you just said, Clark is running the ball far more than Roby, but Roby is sort of controls it at the play of the ball, doesn't he, and brings the rest of the team onto it. So
very,
depends
very
how you're setting your team up.
Very close. I mean, you've got Wham, haven't you, with George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley. There was a clear definition between the two. But these two, this is like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It's Robert Redford and Paul Newman. They really are. I think if they came out fighting together, I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the OK Corral.
They're not as good looking as Robert Redford and Paul Newman either.
I think we can safely say that next time you're on Backchat, Gareth, or something like that, that you won't be comparing any rugby players to George Michael and...
Well, more's the pity. I think this has been more entertaining.
Right, well, boys, we could have Gareth on the spot here because Gareth's gone Roby, I've gone Clark. What are you two going? We could overdo him on the points here.
I'm going Clark again.
Sam, it's up to you, mate. You've got the casting vote.
Oh.
Any time today. I can see the bus coming down the end of the road.
Yeah.
Roby just. With Clark on the bench. So there you go. That's three players on the bench.
Do you know what this is, Gareth? We've just got a press pass from the Warrington Wolves. Carl Fitzpatrick has brought us on board, and it's going to Sam. And he's just worried he's going to see you at a press conference. That's all it is. That's what that's about. Right. Okay. Here we go. Alex Wormsley up against Chris Hill. Another difficult one to pick. Oh, Sam doesn't think so. He's shaking his head. I'll go to you first, mate.
At the minute, no contest. Chris Hill by a mile. Wormsley, good player, but doesn't seem to be quite the same standard as he was a year, 18 months ago. So Chris Hill, easy for me.
Well, he did break his neck. If I'd broken my neck, I'm still not making a cup of tea for anyone 18 months down the track.
You've never done that anyway, so don't even think go there. Are we going to get round to the other players then before your bus comes? Or are we going to keep on the forwards?
Don't worry. We're all right. We're going okay.
Chris Hill.
Chris Hill. All right. Gareth?
Yeah, it is Chris Hill for me. Just that they're two. I like those two players because they took the unusual route to the top, didn't they? They both fair amount in the championship rather than coming through academies. You know, they did the time in the part-time ranks. Hill for a long time, and he's come through and become a top forward. So Hill just, and he's a fair bit of ball playing this year, haven't we? We saw Hull at weekend.
Soft hands.
Passes on the line, yeah. He's certainly developed that part of his game. So yeah, just Chris Hill for me.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll go Chris Hill as well. I haven't seen enough of Wormsley since he's come back. All right, now, number seven. Right, who's going to start here? I mean, this is the one I think out of all the team, up and down, this is the one that, to me, doesn't excite me the most. There's no fantasy locker for me on these two.
In so much that you don't like Lomax either?
I just find that Lomax fits in. He sort of fits in where, you know, they haven't got someone. He's even done it for England, hasn't he? He's not quite ever nailed down a position with Lomax.
I quite like Lomax, to be fair. I'd pick him over Deck. I'd pick him over Dirk.
This is amazing. This conversation's gone on for 30 seconds when we haven't really talked about Dirk Patton. Gareth, I suggest you take over.
Well, I am a Johnny Lomax fan, definitely. I think he's always... he's had some tough runs with injuries as well, but I think when he's played for England, especially at fullback under Bennett, he's been really good. And if you speak to people who watch Saints every week, he very rarely has a bad game wherever he's played, and he's settled in at half-back now. You know, Dirk Patton's got good things to his game as well, but I think Lomax edges that one for me.
I'm with you there, Gareth.
Can I just say, we've been doing a bit of psychology at work in regards to sales techniques, and one clear sales technique is when someone rubs their hand through the hair, they're possibly not telling the truth. And Gareth just rubbed his hand through his hair as he was talking about Dirk Patton. I picked up on that instantly, boys.
I don't know what you can possibly mean.
Right, coming on to number six, Theo Farge. He's come into the St Helens team, but he's up against our marquee signing. Every week we do a different car for Blake Austin. This week he was the Austin 3000. He almost took off to space. Are we all going Blake Austin?
No, I was sat at Hull on Friday night and I can't remember a more dominant individual, certainly first half performance than that produced. So Farge has been great for Saints this year, keeping Richardson out.
You'll see me in the bedroom on Thursday night, Gareth. That was a dominant performance.
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Dennis, you've got no problems with that, have you? I know you've sort of got a little bit of a... all that French wine you drink, but you're still going for Blake Austin.
Yeah.
Okay. Up and coming Regan Grace against the man back from Union, Josh Charnley. I've got to go for the Warrington player, Josh Charnley. As good as Regan Grace has been, I just think Charnley gives that little bit more, doesn't he, Gareth?
Yeah, Grace has got a big future, definitely. But Charnley, arguably the best winger in the competition at the moment. Not just his finishing, but the way he brings the ball back. You know, he's a competitor in every tackle. And it's like he never had that spell away, really. He just settled straight back in. So it'll be tough to keep him out of the England team, or the Great Britain team, should I say, this year, if he carries on like he's going.
We have a young man who does a soundbite for the podcast each week, Callum. He's down in Birmingham. He's a huge Josh Charnley fan. I hate to think what he's saying now, Gareth, after you've just come out with that. Can we WhatsApp him and make sure he's okay? Right. Now, maybe this is where we start losing a few players from the Wolves. We're going into the centres. We ran a poll this week after the Hull game. We put four centres down. We tried to say who is Warrington's best centre. A little bit surprisingly, the poll ended up with 40% to Bryson Goodwin, 40% to King, about 6% to Atkins, and Mamo made up the rest. So we've put down Goodwin and King in our centre positions. The first one, Bryson Goodwin, he's up against Mark Percival. I'm going to go Percival. I think it's just a case of age, isn't it, against experience possibly here. Gareth, who would you go for?
Yeah, Percival just, but I really like Goodwin. I think he's another proper competitor who challenges opposition players all the time, good direct lines. But Percival on his day is up there in Super League, and just hope at some point he can transfer that to England and Great Britain as well.
Yeah. Now, Dennis, you're not a big fan of Bryson Goodwin. Are you going to go for Mark Percival?
Well, I was going to go for Mark Percival, who's a vet in Dorchester, because that's what you've put on the email. Mark Percival.
You see, this is why you're at the forefront of your journalistic career, Dennis, because you've gone that extra mile to look up who this bloke is.
Yeah. So I think I still go for Mark Percival. Because I really don't like Bryson Goodwin.
He hasn't had a head knock this year. He's been putting his head where he shouldn't do, and he's still not had a head knock this year, making all those yards. Okay. All right. Well, the other centres, Toby King up against, maybe this is the other way around now. We said it was youth against experience, against Kevin Naguama. I'll go Toby King. I sort of wrote him off at the start of the season and said he was a little bit flat-footed, but I think his defence and that aggression he's showing at centre, and he seems to have put on a little bit of weight as well. I'll run with Toby King. Gareth, you going against that?
Yeah, I think so. I think Toby King is another improving player, isn't he? I've seen a fair bit of him recently, and he's definitely stepping up. Kevin Naquama, you know, played in the NRL for a long time, captain Fiji in the World Cup and getting to a semi-final. I don't think we've seen the very best of him yet in Super League, but he's a class player.
So where are you going? Which one are you going there? You were sitting Naquama, on the fence a bit. Okay. All right. Sam, you could still bring this back the Warrington way.
I am bringing it back the Warrington way, only because when I was watching NRL, I've always felt that Naquama flatters to deceive. He plays a good game and then he's very quiet the next. And when he's good, he's very, very good. But
when he's bad, he's very bad.
I presume he's on marquee money, and I'd want a bit more than what I've seen of him at Saints so far. So I'm going Toby King.
Well, I never thought I'd say this, but the casting vote goes to a young man down there in his cottage.
Oh, dear.
Dennis Waywell. Come on, Dennis. Nail this one.
I think I'm going to go for Kevin. I can't say his second name. Can someone just pronounce that again for me?
It's Kevin Percival.
Ah, right, yeah. No, I think, like Sam said, I think he's probably got more about him, I think, than King. I do like King for his addition thing when he always challenges for a ball, you know, when we do put a high kick up. And, you know, he really does challenge for it. And, you know, about five times out of ten, he comes back with a ball, which is a good return on that sort of play. But, no, Kevin.
Have you just made that stat up? Where did you dig that one from? You're 10 out of 5.
I could see you, Sam, nodding, so I reckon I've just got it right. 10 out of 5. 5 out of 10.
If you sound confident, then he makes it, you know, that's part of the way to get away with it.
That's another true journalistic tip I picked up along the way, I think.
Oh, there you go, Gareth. You want to write that one down, mate?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay. Now, winger, we've put Tom Lynham in. He's been out of the team for a few weeks. He's up against Tommy Makinson. They're both very good wingers, very, very good scorers. I'm just going to have to go for the St. Helens chap just because I need to even this up a little bit. So I'll go Tommy Makinson. Gareth, your thoughts? I mean, based on this season, possibly, not what's gone on in the past.
Yeah, I think Makinson still is another player. I don't see him have very many bad games. He's very consistent. And when he's good, as we saw for England last year, he's really good. So Makinson for me, I think.
Yeah, he can, every now and again, he can just do something to break the game open, can't he, on his own?
Yeah,
definitely. Okay. Yeah, without that.
He's the all-rounder, I think.
The bow.
Did you hear the hooter go off, by the way?
What hooter?
Oh, it's all right, carry on.
You're not
got some dodgy pipes. I live in an old cottage, and every time the toilet goes, the pipes vibrate, and the house sounds like a hooter. Sorry about that.
You live in a different, completely different world to the normal person, don't you?
Of course I do.
Right, okay. Well, we're nearly at the hooter. We're down to our last players. We're down to fullback. I'm going to sort of step back on this because you know my thoughts on Stephen Ratchford. So, Stephen Ratchford versus Lachlan Coote. Has he turned out to be what they expected at St. Helens? Are they getting sort of, you know, bang for their buck there? Gareth?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Saints will ultimately be a better team with Lachlan Coote than Ben Barber. I think he gives them more balance. Fewer errors. He's a team player, and he's getting better every week. He's bringing the rest of the team into the game regularly. Having said that, I'd still go for Ratchford just over it because I think he's been one of the best players in Super League this year when I've seen him, and a major reason for Warrington being so good so far. So that's a tough call.
Look at Sam. He's got a big Englishman there. Sam's got a big grin on his face, Gareth, because he's got posters on the wall of Stephen Ratchford, haven't you, mate?
I've got posters of his nose on my wall, yeah. I was actually smiling because, Gareth, you could have been reading what I wrote down. I wrote down that... He's brought organisation to Saints, better than Barber as a team player. But this year, I think Ratchford's flying. I think he's absolutely flying. So, got to pick Ratchford there.
Coote, just to annoy Sam.
Good on you, Dennis. Good on you. All right. Well, I'll go Lachlan Coote as well. But with the casting vote here, because he's getting those two votes, it's Gareth who brings home Stephen Ratchford. And that's it. We were going to do the bench. I think we'll leave the bench because we could talk about the bench forever, couldn't we? It's going to
Should we do the coaches?
Oh, good point, Dennis. Good point. Now, we're going to put Gareth on the spot here. Let's bear in mind that Gareth has to interview these two blokes. Like, this is his job, mate. You're going off to the mill later today to work on the looms. But Gareth's got a proper job, mate. So, the coaches, Steve Price. Please feel free, you don't have to answer this, Gareth. Steve Price or Justin Holbrook? Who are you going for, Gareth?
I'm not splitting them yet until I think one of them's got to win some silverware over here to edge in front of the other. What I'll say is they've both been great media-wise coming over. You know, they've been, I think especially Steve Price was a bit wary of the media when he first came because he'd had the head coach's role in the NRL. And yeah. I think he'd had a few occasions where he'd been, it's a different world, the media over in Sydney, I think, to what it is over here, where we're fighting for space in the papers, where they're fighting over each other for stitching people up sometimes. I think he did get stitched up. So he was a bit of a closed book the first 6 months, but he's changed. Media wise, and I think he's become a bit more open, and they've both been great. I think the first one that wins a trophy can edge ahead. The former teammates, aren't they? They played together as kids.
Yeah.
We've done that story a couple of times in the paper, so it's an interesting battle all round at weekend, but I'm not splitting those two, I don't think.
No Dennis, you've been nodding your head. You've interviewed Steve Price. How did you find him?
Well, I think as all coaches, they've all gone to automatic pilot when they answer the questions and so on. But he did actually listen to the questions I asked him, and he did actually answer them. So, yeah, I thought it was good. And as a coach, I think he is very good as a coach. Very different from Tony Smith.
Okay, all right. Well, we've just got a few sort of left field ones now. Well, I've got one, Gareth. My partner's a journalist, and she was sort of thrown into the mix over in London last year. She was working for Australian Associated Press, and their sports journo went home. He had to go back to Australia quickly. If it had been me, I would have been absolutely delighted, but my partner is very much into the arts and culture, And she was thrown the journalistic role for 6 months during the summer season down there in London and got to go to all the sporting events, Wimbledon, Queens, Royal Ascot, the lot. She valued every sporting occasion purely on the catering. what came out top was Queen's tennis. She thought the raspberries and the blueberries there were absolutely superb, fresh in season. We'll just keep it between Warrington and Saints. Who's got the best catering?
Oh, by a distance, I can do this one quite well. Warrington. So we get a hot meal at Warrington, which we don't get at many rugby league grounds. But there's always a very decent hot meal on before. Whereas at St. Helens, we have what looks a bit like a school packed lunch with a bag of crisps and a carton of Ribena. So Warrington, big winners on this front.
All right. Well, just to follow that up, my father, he's 87 now, God love him. He gets exceptionally anxious. His anxiety comes on the most when it comes down to parking at Waitrose or Sainsbury's each week. Best parking, Warrington or St. Helens?
Oh, well, you see, we're on Tesco car park. We're both there now with them having the stadiums on the same site. So it'd be tough to split those. You're probably slightly closer to the ground at Warrington, if that helps.
Okay. All right. Dennis, have you got any, mate, before we let Gareth go?
I was just going to ask him for at least one journalistic tip, either for me or for Callum. So what would be your sort of major journalistic tip for us budding journalists?
I think anyone looking to get into journalism is just try and make as many contacts as you can, knock on as many doors, meet as many people. And that's the best way into the industry I've found. There's a fair bit of luck in the industry, I think. Just impressing the right person at the right time can count for miles more than what qualification you've got, where you went to university, anything like that. So I did do journalism at uni, but I spent my 3 years writing for League Express and Rugby League World and not paying much attention in class, really. And that ended up standing me in good stead because I knew a lot of people when I came out of uni, and that helped. So I think just meet people and knock on doors. And it can be a really frustrating industry to get into. But if you're lucky, which I have definitely been lucky to get in, then it's a fantastic, you know, I wouldn't want any other job in the world, if I'm honest.
Now, Dennis, can we just clearly point it out? There's a difference between knocking on doors and stalking. And you know how easy you've crossed the line in the past. Hey, come on, that restraining order's not been given away yet. So
all right, let's cut this out of the podcast.
All right, well, we're done. I'll run through the team. It can't quite have gone 50-50 because we've got 13 players. But we go from the top. We've got number one at fullback, Stephen Ratchford. At two, Tommy Makinson. Three, Kevin Maguama. At four, we've got the young vet, Mark Perival. At five, we've got Josh Charnley. Six, Blake Austin. Seven, Johnny Lomax. Eight, Chris Hill. Nine, James Roby. 10, Luke Thompson. 11, Ben Curry. 12, Jack Hughes. And at 13, Morgan Knowles. We've just gone slightly towards Steve Price, but that wasn't due to Gareth. But what pretty much tops it off and makes it that Warrington will win on Friday night is the catering.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Gareth, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We look forward to continue to read your articles in the Daily Mirror, and we wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and possibly towards the end we can get you back on to see if it's going to be Warrington's year.
Yeah, no, great. That, I really enjoyed that, fellas. Yeah, and if any of you are at Warrington games, just come up and say hello. It'd be great.
Well, what a nice chap Gareth turned out to be. It was wonderful to be in the company of another professional. I think we could clearly see that Gareth works on my wavelength. We think we got the team about right there. It was pretty much spot on, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I want to just caveat my fantasy bench.
Caveat it? What does that mean?
That I'm going to have Darrell Clark. Oh. I'm going to have Thompson. I'm going to have Philbin. I'm going to have Ben Murdoch-Masilla on my bench. And that team would, that team, together with a combined 13, would sweep all before it.
Probably would, along with the catering. Okay, we'll move on to news of the week. First of all, I noticed that Leeds lost again. It seemed to be up Shit Creek without a paddle, along with the Pieters, who, of course, are drugged up to their eyeballs. I did look at the Leeds team. This has probably been spoken about before, but the team that won in 2017, the grand final team, the starting 13, it only contained four of those players in their loss to Hull KR. They were Briscoe, Watkins on one knee, Sutcliffe, and the old age pensioner, Jamie Jones-Buchanan. It seems they're not buying well, Dennis. Would you agree with that?
No. I didn't think you were coming to me on that one. Yeah, Leeds. I was wondering where Gordon Lilley had gone.
You know what
to.
That was no, like, Gordon Linden. Lilley. Normally, I would go to Sam, and I looked up, and you seemed to be gazing out the window.
I was.
And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, you know what, I'll be like a teacher. I'll be like a teacher, see if he's Linden, listening.
Yeah. What was a... Sorry.
Can't help you out there, Dennis.
Come on, Sam.
I think that is the criticism, isn't it, of Leeds, that they've replaced class players with good average players. And it's shown as they had the bounce back a couple of years ago, but really over the last 5 years, it's been a gradual decline there, hasn't it?
You know what? I'm going to come back to it, Rob, but you know this, having Kevin Seinfeld there is like, you know, trying to prove himself Seinfeld. And then he comes out with his like, you know, well, if you don't play well, he's almost as if he's trying to prove a point, isn't it? And yet it's like a real amateurish way, I think. He's the CEO. He should go.
Good point by Dennis there. Excellent point. Well, another point we should bring up. Gareth, of course, was raving about Pat Moran, who was at over at Rochdale Hornets. News this week is that Pat Moran has headed over to Sheffield Eagles. Not quite sure what that is about. Are they in the same division?
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
It was news to me that he'd gone out on loan to Sheffield. But loan is, we touched on it with Gareth, dual reg. You can be in one week, out the other. But if he's gone on a formal loan, it's a little bit more. It might be only for a month. I've not actually seen the news, as I say, but it might be a little bit more long term.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we also had new deals this week for three players at the club. Toby King, Tom Lynham and Joe Philbin are all now staying at the club until November 2021. So basically, two more seasons after this season. We'd probably all agree they're good signings, aren't they? King's just 22, Philbin's 24 and Lynham, actually, is still only 26. King and Philbin also came from the academy graduates. We've got no qualms with this at all, have we? They're all good players, all good to keep at the club.
Good. Yeah, keep a little good unit going there, you know, keeping the young ones while they're at the top of the game. You know, this is why I suppose it is good playing alongside people like Ryan Atkins, because, you know, that they can see that, you know, you've got something to aim for if you stay with the club. And if you keep your sort of performances up week on week, you know, you make the team. I mean, Lynham's aging like a good Somerset pork, I'd say.
Yeah, good reference. I agree. There's three really good renewals of contracts. I was really pleased Tom Lynham's re-signed, because it did seem at the end of last season like he was going to move back to Yorkshire.
Yeah,
Joe Philbin, we've talked about plenty of times. He's proving to be excellent and getting better week in, week out.
He's a lovely, laughable character.
Toby King, I've given criticism in the past, but I'm really delighted with him.
Okay. All right. Philbin seems to be our happy forward. We've mentioned this before. Big smile on his face. Dennis, your partner is a classically trained pianist. Do you think it's about time we had a good old sing-song around the piano about him?
You can't beat a good laughing sing-song, can you?
With a hooter in the background.
A young prop forward, he's always in our team. A jolly red-faced young man, he really is a fantasy locker dream. He's too kind to be a prop forward, he's never known to frown, and everyone says he's the happiest wire in town.
It absolutely loved it. Yeah. It absolutely loved it.
He laughs upon his tackling, he laughs upon his scrums, he laughs at everyone when he's charging on his runs. He never can stop laughing, he says when he scores a try. I once saw him spear tackle a man, he laughed until he cried.
It absolutely loved it. Yeah. It absolutely loved it. Yeah.
He grits his face whilst catching, and then he shuts his eyes. He opens his great thunderous legs to show off his huge thighs. You cannot help but look and gasp, and now I know where he's on the rise. There's certainly no question with a huge cock that size.
I have no words to describe that.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I was tired. I didn't have much time.
WTFWS. What the fuck was that?
Well, look, right? I've been looking at the analytics of the podcast, and we're very strong in the over 65s. Okay, so come on, there's something for everyone. Right. Okay, Madam Broyd, she brought an international feel to the podcast last week with her prediction, with a rumour of a Toronto swap. Who could it be? And do we really want a player from their team? Did this week's call shed any more light on this Richard chap? And has Richard discovered the soft hand touch after his recent callous handling of Madam Boyd's balls? Now, there's a tongue twister in more ways than one. It's over to Madam Boyd.
Waywell speaking.
Ah, Dennis, I sense you were about to call.
Bloody hell. Yeah, I was. That's freaky, that. Did you sense that through your crystal balls?
No, Dennis, it's 8 o'clock on Tuesday. That's the time we agreed.
Yeah. You're being modest again, aren't you? How's Richard doing?
He's not very vocal, Dennis. I think he spent too much time with Tony. Today, I found him in the corner playing with his squash balls.
I think he'd be up north, wouldn't you? Helping Leeds out at the moment, spending more time looking for talent.
Yes. Well, like you, Dennis, the only talent he's found so far is the girl in the chip shop.
Good luck to him there. Tell him to avoid the scratchings, won't you?
Too late, dear. I'm afraid he's already suffering from a battered sausage.
Right, anyway, Madam Boyd, let's have this week's prediction, please.
Richard, come and play with my balls. Leave your rubber balls alone, dear. Ooh. Very good, Richard. Your handling is very much improved. Yes, my balls are silky and shiny. I feel a warm blow, cutting lines, a blunt cut. Yes, a centre parting the end of the year.
Oh, another barber at centre. Is
that... Richard, release the balls, dear. Release the balls.
Oh, dear. Until next week, then, Madam Boy.
Richard, you're very clingy. This is why Tony left you.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Well. I think, what do you think? What do you think,
Jess? Well, are we on the fringe of that story? I mean, is it going to be combed over? Where are we going with this? Will we need to part it and move on?
Yeah, it could be receding. You don't know. It could be a cut and shut. I don't know.
Well, you do know that actually Brian Bevan was a hairdresser. And he was a hairdresser in Latchford for many years. Yep, many years after he finished playing rugby league. He cut hair in Latchford. And my brother was very keen to have his hair cut by him. So Mum, she toddled over the cantilever and went to have his hair cut. And Mum says to this day, it was the worst haircut my brother ever had.
You try combing it over.
She doesn't speak highly of Brian Bevan, actually. He also used to live in Old Saints Drive in Thelwall. And my mum was on her way to her Keep Fit class. Now, you can imagine at the time, it was a little bit like Felicity Kendall in The Good Life. My mum would have been in her early 40s. The whole of the street had moved in. She just made friends with all the other women. And off they toddled to the local village hall, all in their leotards. And Bevan was reversing his car into his drive, clocked my mum and Mrs. Hamlet from across the road, and drove straight into his gatepost.
Ooh, that's a euphemism, isn't it? Dirty old man.
Right, let's move on. It's time for PFOTW, as the cool kids are calling it, Podcast Fan of the Week. Last week it went to Spunky, and he's Vladivar Top. We've got a few contenders this week. I'll crack in first. I heard from my best mate Lee over there in Dubai. He's been along to the Jumeirah Beach Hotel. He reassures me there's nothing to worry about the building work. And he also sent me a nice picture of his mum, which I'm going to add to my Eddie Fuller album. Dennis, have you got anything?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I've got, well, there was one comment this week, which was topical, saying from Lee Van Dusen. I don't know whether he's Dutch, but he said, "Austin doing it all, Mr. Deck, nowhere near good enough," which, you know, I totally disagree with. But everyone's entitled to the thing. We've had an email off our friend, North Stand Cottagey Mike. He's been in touch. He wants to try and offer some podcast stats to help Sam out. So I sent him over to you, Sam.
And you got a bit annoyed about this, Sam, didn't you? You weren't absolutely all over these stats as saying they're perfect. Do you want to explain why?
Well, he did say that Warrington were only kicking 80%, which is true, but he negated to recognise that that's because Austin had taken one kick and Ratchford was actually at 81.2. Obviously, last night, that's gone down a little bit with his touchline conversions. But you know, Mike, I will be looking to outsource a bit more of my weekly work to you if you want to take it on.
Ooh.
He may have missed that kick. You know he has to pop off somewhere occasionally, don't we? So. Okay. Well, a few comments we've had as well. Alfie Garnett's written into the show. This is in reference to Callum's curse. He says, "How is Callum doing this? Is he a wizard?"
Well.
Dave Munro's written. He said, "I see what you mean about Blake Austin getting close to the dead ball line. Again, he did it tonight. This was at the game in Hull." Now, here's another one. Someone who agrees with you, Dennis. Tom Lawson Corney, hyphenated name, regards Wires best centre. He says, "It's king for me, exclamation mark. Really good at taking the high balls, too." As Dennis pointed out earlier on the podcast, he's 5 out of 10 statistic. Yeah. Always narrow.
10 out of 20 now.
Well, can I give you a tip, Dennis? Always narrow it down to the smallest fraction. You could have just said 1 out of 2. I've got another one here. Now, I think this is a bit of an oxymoron, to be honest. We've had a tweet from You've Got a Loose Wire. He writes to say, "Believes our best two centres are King and Goodwin, but thinks Mamo and Atkins are bigger scoring threats."
I've become a bit transfixed with oxymoron, and I was trying to work out, is that something to do with melting down the statue for Mr. Moron?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we did run a stat last night. We asked, hopefully this is a long way in the future, but on the passing of our owner, should they melt down the Oliver Cromwell statue into a statue of Simon Moran? The poll came back in. We had quite a few votes. 85% said yes, and the 15% said no. That's just silly.
An oxymoron.
Have we got any more? I've got one more. I can go on that one. Has anyone got any more before I lead into this big one? Okay. All right. Now, we've received an email, God love him, from a chap by the name of Jason Keswick. It's a bit of a long one, but stick with me. Jason writes to say, "I'm a keen collector of match day programmes, both from my beloved Lancashire Cricket Club and Warrington RL. My programme collection is quite extensive, with programmes dating back for both Lancashire and Wyatt to the early 1980s. However, I'm missing a match programme from a Warrington game dated the 1st of July 2001, Warrington versus Halifax." And this is his story. He says, "My story begins the previous evening when I was leaving Mr. Smith's. I purchased a hot dog. On waking up slightly hungover on the Sunday morning, I noted something wasn't quite right, with a slight tremor or two in my stomach. Still, the hair of the dog was probably the way to go, as I met with my mates in the Causeway pub prior to the match. All was fine, and after a couple of pints, we headed down Fletcher Street. As always, I was keen to purchase my match day programme. At the time, my collection was only a moderate one, but had I known my fanatical collecting would grow, I would never have done what I eventually did. With the game rather close, I started to feel more than just a rumble in my stomach, and much to my disappointment, I had to make a quick dash to the toilets just as things were hotting up on the field.
This is Wilderspool, is it?
It's Wilderspool.
Jesus.
Well, he says, well, it was certainly hotting up behind the brick wall toilets too. And after making the toilet by a split second, I shat myself to within an inch of a dried prune. He says the relief was staggering, but it was short-lived. As to his despair, he now found he was toilet rollless. And then realizing he was still grasping his match day program, he decided there was only one thing for it. He writes on to say, let's just say the front cover picture of Gary Mercer took the full brunt. With the advertisement of the Mississippi Showboat completing the job. He says, to this day, I still have the program, minus the front and back cover. But if there's anyone out there that would reunite him with an old nightclub long gone and Gary Mercer, he'd be more than grateful. All the best, Jason Keswick.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You had the front cover that ran like a crab and you had the back cover that you could catch a crab. And all over it is loads of shit. Dear, dear.
Oh, dear. It goes without saying that this week's podcast fan of the week is Lee in Dubai. Okay, moving on. Right.
Now, oh, yeah.
The demise of Dennis Wavell's tackle bags hit an all-time low during our last recording. Has Dennis started to lose his interest and let standards slide in a not-too-dissimilar fashion to Tony Smith's last year as Warrington coach? He's now purely holding on this week's section together on reputation only. Is it over, possibly for the last time? We'll finally find out. It's over to Dennis and Dennis Wavell's tackle bags.
Tackle bags.
Dennis.
Yes. Well, I've got a reputation to keep up, so on we'll go. Very professional, as always, on tackle bags. Last week, we talked about warming up the mind before the game, using technology to stimulate the coordination for our ball-playing players. Had a good response on this one. 59% said, yes, that's a cracking idea. And somebody, T. Rogers, emailed to say, yes, can we have Ben Thaler using it? I don't know if you can stimulate a referee's mind. Whether I'd want to stimulate Ben Thaler's mind. Don't go there. Anyway, 30% said no. It would be wasted on some players. Pillow Talk said, for instance, Tompkins brothers. So, yeah, probably.
I have and voltage for them.
Probably. Yeah. And other, we had, was 1%. Email from Anus Beauty said, have you had a go? Your head's full of shit. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm nearly taking offence. But, you know, when I put these headphones on, I do feel stimulated for this podcast. Right, so moving on this week. Right. Okay, get ready. This one's very good. This week's theme was all about the London game, was about getting the youngsters involved and getting them interested in rugby. You know, turning up on a Friday night, the lights are going down and, you know, it's getting into the feel of it. How do you get kids engaged and involved with the game? Well, I came up with a new concept, Glow Rugby. Here, we put special UV lights on and we darken the stadium. And the players wear a special strip, glow-in-the-dark strip. We have a light-up ball. The lines on the pitch are painted with a UV paint. And we play in darkness, but with glow-in-the-dark kit.
I think we get the picture, Dennis. I think we've worked out where this is coming from.
We're adding a bit of fun, and we're really drawing in that young crowd. Oh, you know, Mum, Dad, can we go and watch that game again in the dark and things? What do you think? I think that's
Dennis, you probably are onto something, to be fair. You know, yes. All that glitters is not gold, but you know, all that glows probably is. So I think this is a good idea. Have you written to Carl about it yet?
Not yet. I was just thinking of maybe I was thinking Chris Hill. He could have like a light in his skull cap, like a miner, so we could see where he was. What do you think? Do you think I could write to Carl?
Come a long way, haven't we? We've come a long way from the brick toilets at Wilderspool when you're now doing glow sticks.
Yeah. Hey, if we were at Wilderspool, we could have like had a Legends bit going on.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Out the window.
Good there.
Yeah. All right. Well,
come on, tell them where they need to write to. Yeah, tell them where they have to post their postcards to. Come on, hurry up.
WhatBevin@gmail, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. I'm here. Send them in.
Wow. Can you just, it's going to be impossible to open your front door, isn't it, within a couple of days? My God, the response that's going to get.
The stable door.
All right. Well, let's move on to another young chap. Okay, this is getting a bit weird now. It's surely time that we all agree Madam Boyd now has a competitor. Yes, the Callum curse struck again. Last week he picked Jordan Abdul. Well, should we have suspected any different? Because Jordan Abdul was out injured. Freakish. That's now the last six danger men that Callum has picked that have fallen to the curse. So come on, Callum. Time to pick a good one. It's over to Callum's danger man.
Not quite the danger of Friday the 13th, but Friday the 12th will have to do. Warrington travel to the apt name Totally Wicked Stadium to face the league leader St Helens once again. It's the game that's hot on the lips of all the pundits and even us wires. The two teams both predicted to be going at it for the big prize on offer at the Theatre of Dreams in October. It's really difficult to pick a player out of this one, to be fair. Such a terrific St Helens team. But the two I've selected this week are fullback Lachlan Coote as one. Replacing Ben Barber was always going to be a tough act to follow, but with his excellent technical ability and support play on offer, and his all-round play, he's my danger man number one. Danger man number two is a forward this time, one who impressed throughout the whole of 2018 and has continued to perform to the best standard in 2019, the prop Luke Thompson. He is one of a few battering rams in the Saints squad, and with his prowess from the middle of the pack in attack and defence, he's one for the wire to watch out for off the back of a speedy ruck. That's my danger man instalment for another week. Slowly getting to the best part of the year, summer rugby. My spell for this week has been firmly fixed on Coote and Thompson. Good luck, boys. Don't see no lights are flashing, played by sense of smell. Always gets a replay,
never seen him fall. That's their thumb and blind. Sure plays a mean pinball.
Sorry, is anyone tracking Callum's movements? Has he been seen in the St. Helens area this week?
Well, I mean, the good news is they are going to be depleted now with Thompson not in their front row, and they're going to probably have to move Lomax to fullback, aren't they? I mean, that's what they're going to have to do now. So good selection picks, I'd say, by Callum. Let's watch this space and see what happens. Okay, right. It's time for the biggie. We've already spoken to it about with Gareth. It's not the result that's going to decide the season. That will come at Old Trafford in October. However, it's been a very long time since you've had such a mouth-watering clash at this time of the year. We've picked our teams. We could hardly pick them apart. Sam, before I ask you to predict, where does the heart of this amazing battle lie?
Up front, two great packs. And depending on which pack get on top, then the hooker will tip the scales. If Warrington get going forward, Daryl Clark will jump out from dummy half and cause havoc. Whereas if Saints get slightly on top, then Roby controls things behind their pack. So I'm looking for huge games from Cooper, Hill and Hughes, Philbin. They're the boys that are going to take us forward this week.
You seen it the same way, Dennis?
Yeah, I think like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the defence is going to be critical, and then the psychology bit, which, you know, of keeping in the game if we fall behind. Because if you think about this season, we haven't been in that situation very often where we fell behind. It couldn't have happened at all, really, apart from Catalan. So yeah. I think that's going to be really important. It's going to be the first test where we could possibly find ourselves behind.
Well, that kind of leads me into what I was going to say as well, because I thought in last year's semi-final, Justin Holbrook made a bad decision on a couple of occasions when They had Warrington on the back foot, and he decided when they got a penalty to kick for goal. And it just kept, I thought, on a few occasions, kept us in the game. I'll be interesting to see if they go 8 points up in this game with, you know, 25 minutes to go, 30 minutes to go, they get a penalty. I wouldn't be surprised this time if he's learnt his lesson and he doesn't run the footy. I just think he could have finished us off last year and they didn't get the chance. So that's where I'm coming from. Okay, let's go on to the predictions. Sam, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm just about to toss a coin and I'm going to go 22-18 St. Helens. Oh. It came down tails. That's a shame.
Come on, Rob. You're going to go next.
That's a real shame.
Get your Aussie coin out.
Well, you see, this is the thing, isn't it? Because a few times this year, I've gone 18-all or I've gone 19-18. I mean, this is surely the game where it's going to be like that. So I'm going to go St. Helens 10, Warrington 48.
I like that. That's very good. Very good. It's funny because I'm going the opposite way and I'm going to say it's 26 all.
Right. Okay. And we're going to get 15 minutes? Who? Ridiculous. Who would think that after 15 minutes of golden time?
26 all.
Okay. We're nearly there. Friday night, perhaps we'll all find out just where Warrington stands. It may not be the definitive prize, but boy, it's going to be a great match. Wherever you're watching the clash, enjoy the game. We'll have a poll up on Twitter after the final hooter. Look out for that. If you want to hit us up, as always, give us your wire views. You can email to whatbevan@gmail.com or direct messages on Twitter to @whatbevan. Enjoy the match, Sam.
Yeah, cheers. And you.
Enjoy the match, Dennis.
Certainly will. Be seeing you.
I'm going to enjoy it here. Thanks again to Gareth from the Daily Mirror. Cheers also to Carl and Rachel over at the Warrington Wolves, as it looks like we're soon going to be able to interview the players live on the pod. Come on, Wire. Let's get top of the table on Friday night. What a season it's turning out to be. You've been listening to What Would Ryan Bevan Say?
Probably take me about 8 hours to drive up to there to get there on Friday. Have you got anything I can phone in sick with?
Shut up, Dennis, and go and put your headset on.